John Zaffis, of course, more than 30 years of experience studying and investigating the paranormal. John, Mary Pat's with us now. Would you introduce her to us? Tell us a little bit about her.
Yes, this is Mary Pat. She's the mom of the little girl we're going to be discussing this evening. And Mary Pat and her family is a very unique type situation. She wanted to understand what was happening with her daughter. She wanted to know how to work with her daughter, not only from a psyche point, but also from her perspectives of her belief systems. This whole family, extremely united, pulled together to be able to understand what had entered this family's life and tormented them for an entire year. Today, Mary Pat, she's almost an investigator herself today, with the knowledge and the understanding that she has in dealing with a child, not only with psychic abilities, but also a child of poltergeist, with a tremendous amount of things happening in her home, furniture getting thrown around, raining in her home, reigning in her mother's home, and being able to pull this together and to be able today to share what her family had endured is a phenomenal situation.
And with that, here's Mary Pat. Hi, Mary Pat. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure indeed. When this was all happening to you, Mary Pat, I mean, I assume you never had this experience before, right?
No, we hadn't.
So what did you think was happening?
We really didn't know how to perceive what was happening at the time. My husband and his sister had bought back some antiques from my husband's grandmother's house. It was in the evening. My mom and my sister and my daughter and I were just looking over the antiques. And all of a sudden, my sister-in-law went into my daughter's room to get something, and she found that the bed had been moved. And this is a 400-pound waterbed, and it takes two adults to move it. And so she asked me nonchalantly if I had moved it. No, I hadn't. We asked my husband. No, he hadn't. And we chalked it up to, oh, well, and we moved it back. A little while later, she had to go back in there for something, and it was moved again within 15, 20 minutes. And this time she was a little bit shaken, and she yelled to me, the bed is moved again. And we all went running into my daughter's room, and sure enough, it had been moved. And from that point on that evening, this is going back last June 10th, to be exact.
Okay.
From that moment on, we couldn't keep up with the activity in the house. From one room to the next, things were being trashed, beds were being moved, cell phones were being thrown. And everything was silent. Nothing made a sound. Chairs were being knocked down. But everything was silent, repetitive, and as soon as we would, quote-unquote, fix up one room, another one would be trashed. And we made sure that all of us were together, you know, because our first inclination was somebody's pulling a prank. One of us within the family is pulling a prank.
I would think that, too. You have to rule that in or out right away,
yes.
Except that I'm sure you were all looking at each other,
yes.
And nobody was missing.
Right. My husband had been outside, you know, tending to the animals and whatnot, and our first thought was, well, maybe he's just joking around with us. And we called him in the house, and he just said, absolutely not. What's going on? Why are you all so crazy? And from that point on, we just gathered ourselves together in the living room, and we thought to ourselves, we'll just logically figure this out. This is just, you know, a crazy little coincidence.
What region of the country did you live in, Mary Pat?
We live in New England area.
Okay. Now, as this is going on,
yeah,
what's the daughter doing, the little girl?
She, in the beginning, was just kind of running around with the rest of us, but within just a few minutes, she would physically get pains in her arm that she was aware. She knew that something was happening, and not only did she know something was happening, but she could tell what room of the house it was happening in. And for instance, on a few times we were sitting in the living room and she said, something's happening in my bedroom now. And we would go to her bedroom and sure enough, the bed would be moved, her stuffed animals would be on the floor, her aunt's bathing suit, her aunt was visiting us from the Midwest, and her aunt's bathing suit would be in the middle of the floor. And my daughter would just know where things were happening. And then looking back, my daughter had always been very intuitive. Now, none of us in the family had ever experienced anything paranormal, ghostly. We were never involved in any Ouija boards or anything like that that would bring spirit. So we were very unaware, unfamiliar with this whole phenomenon. But looking back, my daughter had always said, even as a practically an infant in her crib, that she saw things. She saw the woman, my cousin, that had lived in the house and died in the house prior to us moving into there. She was always terrified of her room. We had a Beatrix Potter border around her wall, which are little old-fashioned bunnies, very innocent, and she always saw them as cows coming to get her. But we never put two and two together because, like I said, we weren't familiar with the psychic world and we just didn't even go there in our thought patterns.
What, from that moment it was occurring, I would assume it was a mischievous poltergeist, or did it get violent, dangerous later on?
In the beginning, it was just mischievous. It just wanted to get our attention, pulling pranks, moving furniture. Like I said, everything was silent. At that point, that first night it happened, we did not know it was poltergeist. We didn't even know it was spiritual, really. We kind of thought to ourselves, is it God? Is it the devil? Is it like an undetected earthquake? Is it just, you know, we're all going insane? We really didn't know. But from that point on, this has been going on now for a little less than a year, about 2 weeks less than a year. And as time progressed, it increased. The activity increased, the level of violence increased, and no one ever got badly injured or badly hurt, but it did include scratching, biting, poking, scratches and X marks along certain members of the family's legs, arms, backs, where it would almost draw blood.
Did it direct most of this to your daughter?
She seemed to have been the center of it in the beginning. And like John had explained to us once we got him involved in it, that she is an intuitive child. She has that degree of psychic ability. I think we're all born with some sort of intuition, gut feeling, a hunch, whatever you'd like to call it. She's extremely sensitive to it. And she does have the ability to see and feel things that the quote-unquote normal person doesn't.
How did you, John, then get involved in this?
Well, at that point in time is when her sister-in-law had given me a call because she was extremely concerned about the child, her brother. She didn't know what to make of it. Is all she knew was she was terrified after her vacation. And then shortly after that, that's when Mary and Pat and I started talking, and I set up to go over there.
Now, are you easy to find in New England to people when you know you're looking for a ghost, an entity, a poltergeist? How do they know how to find you?
Usually through the internet or a lot of the different organizations that are out there today. You put John Zaffis in, and I basically pop up all over the place. And that was basically how they were able to track me down. And reading some of the information and some of the things that I've been involved with in the past, they realized that it was a good possibility that I might be able to help them out.
On your first visit, is that when you brought all the equipment, or did you just show up by yourself?
No, I never go anywhere by myself. I had a couple of people with me. We had some of the equipment with us.
One we'll talk to in about 15 minutes or so, I guess. Brendan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Brendan was there several different trips, and he had a couple of major experiences in a couple of the houses on the property. But my initial trip to any investigation is to basically document and see if there is going to be any activity while we're there. It's very important for me to get everything that the people have witnessed, mm-hmm. what everybody has gone through. And the one thing that was very intriguing to me was that the elders from their church were going to be there the evening I arrived. And that told me right then and there that they even had a spiritual support system already in place to see what exactly was happening. So it was one of the most largest interviews I ever did in one evening.
What did you think, Mary Pat, when John Zaffis showed up on the scene?
Well, what had happened was my sister-in-law had gone back after her week's vacation with us, and she had spoken to her daughter, and her daughter looked up John on the internet. And she called us and said, you know, I have some help for you. I looked up this guy, John Zaffis, and my first thought was, oh, no, I don't meet people over the Internet. I can't go there. This is too weird. And after thinking about it, we just said, you know what, a phone call is not going to hurt. And as soon as I talked to John, it just, you know, the ice was gone, and it felt comfortable. He knew exactly what we were going through. He made arrangements shortly thereafter, within the week, to come out to investigate. And, of course, I have the whole entourage at my house. I have an extended family, and many of us live in close-by quarters. And so we were all there, and he made it very comfortable. You know, they set up the cameras and to interview all of us, and they interviewed my daughter. And they just determined at that point that, yes, this is a real situation, and they just have been there for us for the last year, you know, just in immeasurable, you know, it's just been wonderful.
Was your family afraid at all, Mary Pat, about what was going on?
Yes and no. I think more than anything, we were all very intrigued by it. It was just fascinating. It was bizarre. The only time we really got afraid was when things would escalate in a violent manner. For instance, when my daughter would actually get twisted and pulled, and she would lose her breath during some of these episodes with these entities.
That's scary.
And that was very scary. I mean, she would lose her breath to the point of we would have to smack her on the back, throw water on her face to get her to catch her breath. Now, my daughter also has had a history of migraine headaches, and some of the headaches now that we realize are not so much migraine as they are psychic headaches, and she can differentiate between the two. She does get real migraines, but she also gets psychic headaches, and during the course of this whole thing, there's been other members of the family that have gotten immediately ill, whether it's a headache, nausea, dizziness, and it will leave as quickly as it came on, sometimes within minutes. Sometimes it can linger for hours.
Is this a symptom, John, of a poltergeist being in the area?
It's a symptom of having spirit activity in the area. When a person is nauseous and they're sick, and with the migraine headaches, this is extremely common. This is where some of the areas are in the gray area, George, where I know not only are we dealing with basically poltergeist phenomena happening, but it's also a good possibility at that point that we might be dealing with something else intertwining with this. We know spirit attracts spirit. We do realize today that there are things we don't understand about the ability of being able to move things. So I don't always call all poltergeist cases demonic or have a demonic influence with it. But in this situation, after interviewing her daughter on my first trip over there, I already had known that something else had attached itself to this child during some of these things that were occurring. And I knew that it was going to be a long haul down the road to be able to free that child of some of the things that she was going through. This is where it starts getting so complicated with our work. We know the child is psychic. We know she can pick up on things. And these type of people that are sensitives will attract spirits, good spirits and bad spirits. So this is the process of elimination and learning and understanding what is happening here. Now, not only do we have where we have a Roman Catholic priest involved with this, we have a traditional Presbyterian, we even had a shaman that was involved with this entire family. So they had quite a denomination of different belief systems that were incorporated within this entire investigation, which was a fantastic support system for the family.
Why did you need that kind of support, Mary Pat?
It seemed like it was going on and on. There was no quick fix, and we really didn't expect a real quick fix because we know that in this situation, sometimes things just have to run their course in their own time. We are a Christian family. We believe in God as our guide, mm-hmm. and we had the elders from our church and the minister from our church come and hold prayer groups. We have friends of all different denominations. We have a friend who's a Native American that came and did blessings with sage and prayer in his faith. We've had Catholics, fundamental Christians, Pentecostal, and these are all friends of the family as well. And each have their own faith, and each faith is what helps them and in turn helps us.
Was the goal to get rid of this entity or just to understand it?
Well, both. I mean, we really wanted to understand it, and I was just fascinated from the beginning with all of it, and I've just been, just hungry for knowledge about it because it fascinates me, and it blows my mind that my daughter is going through this. I mean, who'd have thought in our family? It was just so out of character.
Is it still going on, Mary Pat?
It's been calm for about 5 weeks now, and this is the longest period of time we've had calm since last June. We've had periods where it escalates, where it's just going crazy, and we have periods of quiet, but the quiet usually lasts a few days up to a week or so, never 5 weeks.
Why do you think this is 5 weeks now? What's going on?
Well, we document. My sister is very good at documenting everything that has happened from day one. And the last recorded, in fact, one of the very last things that happened is just a funny little story. What had happened was things have been happening both at my house and my mother's house next door. And one of the last things that had happened was my daughter was here at my mother's house, and she had found a note written. We also have had writings on the wall, on notes, things like that. And this one particular writing said something to the effect, "I'll kick you in your bum," which is an Irish-Scottish slang term that we don't use around here. And, that following morning, I emailed my sister Louise, and we were joking about it. We said, "Oh, this poltergeist must be Irish."
John Saffis, introduce Brendan Keenan. Tell us what Brendan does, and then we'll bring all three of you together.
Okay. Brendan Keenan is a researcher that works with me, very much into the end of documenting things, which he's phenomenal at, his recordings. He recorded a tremendous amount of information from these two homes, with the water that took place on the beds to some of the scratches on the little girl, on the husband. And Brendan basically got involved with this work to try to understand it, what it was all about, and basically had made contact and joined our organization. And today Brendan's a key person in the Presnine organization.
Brendan, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me.
We've got a picture of this water coming down inside the house. Tell us a little bit about that. That's got to be one of the strangest things I bet you've ever seen.
Well, it is. And that picture was actually taken after many, many visits that I'd made with John and the other researchers. On the first dozen or so trips, I you know, very little happened, if anything, and I was not witness to a lot of the things. It was actually humorous in a way. We would leave, and a lot of this stuff would happen. We would get a cell phone call on the way out, and you know, a lot of the phenomena would occur. But when that particular picture was taken, that's actually a video still that you see, and on the actual video, you can see the water forming, and it's pretty rapid the way it would actually, you know, pool on the ceiling, which was odd in itself. And it would build up to the point where it'd be dripping off the ceiling and collecting a puddle on the ground, on the floor.
Strange. Mary Pat, when this was going on, what were you thinking? Oh, my gosh, there goes my house.
Yeah, the first night that activity began, my sister had seen water on the ceiling of my living room. None of the rest of us saw it. Only she did. And then a couple of nights later, my daughter saw water dripping down the wall of our bedroom, and none of us saw it. And from that point on, water would just bombard both houses, my mother's house and our house. It was the way it formed on the ceiling, it was as if somebody blew it across the ceiling. It would make almost pretty patterns. And the water itself was a little heavier in consistency than normal water. It had a glycerin type feel to it. It was a little yellowish, and it would stain after it dried up. Sometimes it would dry up within minutes, and other times it would be there for hours. And it would pool on the ceilings, drip down the walls, splash people as they walked by, and it was always ice cold. I would have buckets of water thrown on me while I was sleeping, ice cold water.
What kind of equipment did you have with you, Brandon?
A lot of what I use is the newer video cameras that have the infrared on them. They seem to be really good, you know, in no light situations. And typically what we do is set up in rooms that have had a lot of activity, and often just leave the room with the door closed and windows closed, just to make sure, you know, there's no horseplay involved, and basically leave the room and see if we can capture any of it on video.
All right, John, with this team you've assembled, with Brendan going into Mary Pat's house, how would you categorize this episode, this poltergeist, compared to things that you had witnessed before?
This is very, very much on the higher scale. When you are in a vicinity and you have the poltergeist activity, it is very quiet and it reacts extremely fast. And there was one evening where one of the rooms had a tremendous amount of water, George, within seconds. By the time we realized what was happening and we had the cameras turned on, the water was just pulling all over the floor, and it was a very heavy consistency. With the amount of activity that has taken place within Mary Pat's home and Grandma's home, while I've been there, running back and forth between both houses, trying to document things and, you know, trying to watch what's happening, from a researcher's perspective, it's extremely fascinating because it happens within a blink of an eye. And the amount of activity that happens, no one can do it that fast. And normally we were always in groups. And if there was anybody doing anything to the extent that the things were happening in this home, they had to be a magician. I mean, we had four beds in one house, two beds in another house. Within moments, George, these beds were saturated. Within moments. When you witness things like this, and you go through these things, even after all these years, it's still intriguing, it's fascinating, and you try to logically look for the explanations with some of these things. Now, George, with poltergeist, we have what we call a sonic boom that occurs when the activity is going to peak. And it's the only way I can describe it is it's like a barrier breaks. Well, this one evening, that there was four researchers plus myself, and some of us were staying in the guest house, where there's never no activity. This is a third house on the property. And we, you know, everybody got settled into the bedrooms. And I'm sorry, it was Brendan and I that were in the guest house. And I was in one bedroom and he was in the other bedroom. Well, the sonic booms had started. With these booms.
That loud.
George, it's phenomenal when it occurs. I've only witnessed it twice in all the years I've been in this work, and this was the second time. The first time, it starts as a rumble, and then it builds to a climax and breaks. And I knew instantly what was preparing to happen. And I got concerned for Brendan in the other room because I knew he had never experienced this. Well, then the second rumble came through of the sonic boom, and it was extremely intense at that point. I mean, to the point where you could feel the vibration throughout the house and the things in it. And I braced myself at that point because I said to myself, okay, I said, things are intensifying here in the other cottage or the other home where things didn't happen. Well, by the time the third one came through, it was so strong and so intense that I jumped up out of the bed and I went to go run into the other room to make sure he was okay and not having a heart attack or something. And he basically had been running towards me and he was like, John, what in the world is going on? And I said to him, get the equipment set up, get it set up, because we didn't have anything set up in this one particular house,
right?
Not experiencing anything. I'd like Brendan to share his experiences of that night.
All right, pick it up from there, Brendan.
Okay, well, the first bang, which, you know, was not something that sounded normal to me. I've got up, went to look at the door to see if it was latched. It was a latched door. It was. Didn't think it was a door, but that's the only thing I could logically, you know, ascribe that sound to. Got back into bed. Just as I was dozing off, the second more intense boom came, and this I knew was nothing that could be caused by anything in the house, a shutter. It was loud, almost as if it was just an intense sound where you could feel it in your chest, almost like a cannon or a gunshot.
Sure.
You'd feel the shock. And the third one, which is the one that was really alarming to me, I nearly had a heart attack. I jumped up out of bed and knew that it was not something natural. I was completely convinced at that point, and grabbed the video camera, which we had no activity for the previous part of the day. It didn't have any activity at all, and it had cameras running all day. I used probably 8 tapes. And, of course, as always, when this occurred, nothing was running, no video, audio, nothing. So it was not captured. As soon as I put on the video camera, it stopped, and that was it for activity for that evening. But the intensity was not something that could have been a natural house noise. And again, if this was a prank, somebody would have had to been lightning fast. Everybody was accounted for where they were sleeping. It was pretty disconcerting. It was a very unsettling experience, but and that was actually my first experience there, and that was probably my 5th trip out to Mary Pat's house. And that definitely signified to me that there was something to it. I was still trying to wrap my head around the whole case, because it is a very involved case, but that was my first realization that there was definitely something unnatural about what was going on at the house.
Do you enjoy going to these events, Brendan?
Usually, yes. It's always interesting. There is a lot of downtime where we're, sitting around looking at hours of footage with nothing on it and listening through headphones carefully for, things that may be unnatural. There's a lot of that. But when we do actually capture something that can't be explained, it makes all that worth it, because it is, it confirms a lot of things that, when we get evidence that's hardcore, that makes it all worth it.
I'm going to ask all three of you, one at a time, just to elaborate on what you think these entities are, where they may come from, why they are where they are. Let's start with you, Brendan. What are these things?
Well, if you know, if we're talking about, you know, human spirit, a lot of times that's just a case where it's a confused spirit, where they're earthbound. It, a lot of times can occur after, you know, a sudden death. A lot of times it's, they don't know they're dead. And that's the most common type of thing. And that's a lot of times what people contact us about, just looking for information. It's not something we usually go to investigate. That's the big enchilada, and that's, you know, the more benign stuff. And then there's the other end where you're dealing with something more on a negative level, the demonic end. And those are the types that we typically go to investigate. In this case, it was not something we considered demonic. It was more that the family was scared to death and they needed more enlightenment, you know, and things explained to them.
How about you, Mary Pat? What do you think they are?
Like Brendan said, I think it has to do with a few different things, including human spirit and entities maybe that aren't human. You know, as far as the poltergeist end, we've had the movement of things, we've had water, we've had spontaneous fire. We've had things on the negative level as far as the scratching goes. My mother's dogs would vanish into thin air only to be found in the dryer going, in the oven turned on the roof of the house. They would just vanish into thin air. So that type of thing I don't think is a good spirit. Where it's coming from, I don't know. But all in all, it's been an experience, and there's just so much to it that we can't possibly fit in on one show. But it's been enlightening. It's strengthened our faith. It's given our family even a more of a bond than we've ever had, and we've always been very close. And I don't know. It's just been so much. It hasn't been one particular thing. It's been a lot of different activities coming from different places, and I'm still in the learning process.
How about you, John? I'm sure you've come up with your own theories on what these things could be.
Well, in this situation that's involved the three different homes, I believe at one point in time we were dealing directly with human spirit, or the family was dealing directly with a human spirit. I believe at a point in time, we had something that had moved in on a negative level and really caused the activity to increase within the home with the scratching and the disappearing and rematerializing of animals and some of the things that have transpired in this home. I know we were dealing with something on a more negative level. And this is where it came into play on my end as far as a researcher to get this family help. And here again, it was so unique to have so many different clergies and belief systems pulled together to be able to support this family and help this family, which is one of the most rarest of rare things to find. Today, as far as investigating and putting it on a number system from a 1 to 10, which I usually don't like to do, this was up on a 10 as far as being an investigator.
Is the family still living in that house?
Absolutely. It's an old family homestead. There's been many generations that has lived on this property. They have several homes on this property. They united. They were pulled together. And as a group, it's extremely important for people to take control back over their homes. And on a joking side, George, I don't think Grandma would leave that property for anything.
No, probably not. Probably not at all. Well, Mary, I want to thank you, Mary Pat, and for staying up so late. I know on the East Coast it's pretty late. But anything been going on while you've been on the show? By the way, you hear any rumblings?
No, everything's been quiet.
Okay, Mary yes. Pat, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and Brendan, I want to wrap up this hour with you, and then John, you stick around for phone calls
okay.
next hour as well. Do you like doing this, Brendan? Is it enjoyable?
It is. And the main aspect that I enjoy is actually, you know, helping families and people that are going through these things. Because a lot of times when we first arrive there, they're so frightened they can hardly even speak about these things. And it's very difficult to, it's a learning process as to how to start to speak to people about these things. Because it isn't something that we're going to have conclusive proof of anytime soon. So we're talking about something that a lot of people have trouble believing. But it's been great just to be able to work with families and, you know, help people that are in need of it and that are, you know, scared out of their minds.
All right, great. Thanks, Brendan. I appreciate you being on Coast to Coast.
Thank you, George.
John, did you ever bring a psychic into this particular case?
There was a situation where mutual friends of the family had a couple of friends that were psychic, and they basically had come into the homes to see what they were able to discern or what they were able to pick up on. And both of them, their conclusions were that they were picking up on multiple spirit, and they were picking up on quite a bit of different things that had transpired.